The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Gospel of Grace podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. We would love to have you worship with us in person sometime. The church address is 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. After the song, please stay tuned for a message of God's sovereign grace.
Come from here. let's try to develop that thought. What does he mean when he says their works do follow them? Well, the word follow, or that phrase, follow them, carries the idea that their works accompany them, or that their works cleave steadfastly to them. Now, in order to really understand this thought, we need to recognize the connection between heaven and earth. Now, we as Primitive Baptists, who believe that salvation is entirely of grace, may be prone to miss this connection between heaven and earth because we understand that our behavior, our works, the way we live our life here, has no effect whatsoever on our home in heaven. There's no connection in that sense. But there is, throughout the Bible, verses and descriptions of how heaven and earth are connected. That is, how our entrance into the kingdom here is connected to the kingdom of God in eternity. Years ago, Elder Joe Holder wrote a book, I would like to find it, called Eternity in Time and Time in Eternity. Now, one verse that came to my mind was in Genesis chapter 28 and verse 12. You remember when Jacob had that dream at the time that the Lord was really dealing with him, and it said in Genesis 28, 12, and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending, that is going up, and descending, going down on it. Now just think of that picture and nothing else. Here's a ladder. The bottom of the ladder's on the earth. The top of the ladder, he says, is it goes to heaven. And the angels of God are going up and down the ladder. Now, among other things, that lets us know that heaven is involved in earth, and in a sense, earth is involved in heaven, because the same angels that come down the ladder and are involved in the affairs of this life are also going up the ladder. You know, a ladder connects two points that otherwise maybe you could not, you know, go from one to the other. So that's the idea here, is there's a relationship, there's a connection between heaven and earth. Again, not that what we do here gets us to heaven. So let's try to understand what that means, because that's what's under consideration here when he says in Revelation 14 and 13 that those that die in the Lord, that rest from their labors, he says, their works do follow them. So look first of all at 1 Timothy chapter 6. And having given you that picture of that ladder that Jacob dreamed about, we now want to see this point. And this is the single point I want to try to emphasize from Scripture for the balance of our time. But let me read here in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world. Here's people that have possessions here in this world. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Now, watch this. Paul is instructing the Lord's people to live in such a way that they can lay hold on eternal life. That expression, lay hold, means to seize eternal life. This is not speaking of getting eternal life in the sense that you formerly were unsaved, and now as a result of what you've done, you've laid hold upon it, and now you have eternal salvation. But rather, he's speaking here of you doing those things which enable you to lay hold, listen, lay hold on the essence of heaven's blessings. Now, whenever in your own experience you draw nigh to God, and as James says, draw nigh to Him and He will draw nigh to you, you know from your own experience that's times when you are touching some of heaven. You're tasting heaven. I used to hear the old preacher say, when the Lord blesses the meeting, it's like a foretaste of heaven. And that's a biblical concept. That's what he's talking about here. Notice what they're doing that enables them to lay hold on eternal life. He says in verse 18, that they do good, that they be rich in good works. Now the text in Revelation says their works do follow them. If we can understand what he's talking about here, it'll help us get to what that means. Here it says when they engage in these good works, when they live obedient to the Lord, they're laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come. Now what does that mean? That means when we live obedient and we enjoy God's fellowship, That's going to be like a foundation when persecution comes. That's going to be our source of support. That's going to be what keeps us going. That's what's going to enable us to be like those in Revelation when it said, here is the patience of the saints. It's through our doing good and being rich in good works that we store up a good foundation against the time to come. So notice here he's speaking of some blessings we enjoy here in the time to come. Not eternity, but in the time to come. In the future of our life, when we may suffer or be persecuted, he says, because we've been rich in good works, it's as if we're storing up spiritual blessings. It's as if we're laying a good foundation so that when hard times come, we can lay hold on eternal life. You know, that's how martyrs in the past were able to give such a good testimony, is because they had laid up for themselves by their faithfulness, by, as the text said in Revelation, keeping the faith of Jesus. They laid up for themselves a good foundation, and consequently in this life they lay hold on eternal life. Now, surely you can see that idea and you've experienced it, that while our works do not secure our home in heaven, this clearly teaches that a life of obedience or a life of faithfulness enables you to lay hold upon and experience the kingdom of God in a way that you will not experience in disobedience. So you see, we're looking at it now not in terms of how our works follow us, but we're looking in terms of how when we strive to live in a way that pleases God, we lay hold upon eternal life. We're looking at it now in prospect, you see. Right. Notice also in Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. And these will be verses that you're familiar with. Verse 21, this is the rich young ruler. And Jesus said to him, "One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me." Now, he wasn't saying, do this, and you're going to have more in heaven than other children of God do. He's saying, do this, and you're going to enjoy heavenly blessings here. You remember, he went away sorrowful because he had much riches. So what's being established in these verses I'm looking at is that we can enjoy heaven's blessings now if we're willing to prioritize that blessing, if that's more important to us than the blessings, so to speak, of this world. Notice in Matthew chapter 6, verse 20 and 21, this makes it even clearer. Jesus says, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Again, Jesus is not speaking here of somebody having it better than somebody else in heaven, but he's speaking of God's children who may have heaven better on earth than another child of God. He says, where your treasure is, what you value, that's where your heart's going to be. And then in contrast to that, notice in Luke chapter 12 and verse 16, this is the person that doesn't lay hold on eternal life. This is the person that doesn't live in such a way that they enjoy treasures in heaven. This is the man, you remember, that had an abundant crop, and he said, "I'm going to tear down my barns and build bigger barns." And it says, and we don't have time to read all of this, but you remember in verse 18, he says, "This I will do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years." That's the attitude of the world, isn't it? Oh, I can retire now. My goal is to retire young. That's the philosophy of the world. I have goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. I can't wait for retirement. People live for retirement. But God said unto him, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up for himself and is not rich toward God." So you see, all of these verses are teaching how that through our commitment, our obedience, our faithfulness to God here, that we lay hold on eternal life, that is, we're laying up treasures in heaven, meaning that we are drawing, if you will, from a reserve of spiritual blessings that God has in store for us in heaven, but they're enjoyed and we benefit from them in this world. Now, I would that I had time to read all of these verses, but I just want you to see how significant this concept is as described in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, and you remember he's talking here about adding to your faith. 2 Peter 1, 5, "Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, watch this now, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fail. Now listen to this. For so an entrance. Now this is not somebody going to heaven here. This is somebody living in this world. But he says, so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Notice what he's saying there. This is not someone going to heaven. This is a child of God who is so focused on spiritual things and so committed in their faithfulness to the Lord, then in effect, an entrance into heaven, an entrance into the everlasting kingdom is ministered unto them. Now, what does the word minister mean? It means you serve someone, you give them something, you wait upon them. And here it's talking about that a child of God is being served an entrance into the everlasting kingdom of heaven. You see that? Here's a child of God that's enjoying heaven's blessings now. Here's a child of God that's experiencing that ladder between heaven and earth, that heaven's blessings are coming down and they're enjoying them. And he says, this entrance is ministered abundantly unto them into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I remember years ago, there was a meeting where 55 people joined the church at one time. And one of the preachers that was at that meeting said, we almost went to heaven that night. That's what this is talking about. When God blesses in such a way that you feel like you almost went to heaven. Now, we've had some meetings here, especially early on, where we felt like we were having that entrance ministered unto us. Maybe you've experienced that individually. But the idea here is that though we understand that salvation is by grace and not by works, yet through works and faithfulness and obedience, we can lay hold on eternal life and we can get heaven's rewards while in this world. Now, lastly, what does he mean, therefore, when he says, their works do follow them? That just simply means when a child of God goes to heaven, he's going to carry with him, so to speak, those spiritual blessings from this standpoint. That heaven is just a storehouse of those spiritual blessings that he's experienced here. He's drawn from them. You know, heaven is like a vast reserve of endless spiritual blessings that we've just tapped into a little bit here, that we've just had a foretaste of, that we've just enjoyed perhaps the interest earned by that which is in heaven. We've just experienced a little bit of it, but what we carry with us to heaven is that's actually from heaven. You see what I'm saying? Our works follow us. Not that the way we lived our lives gives us a greater reward in heaven, but that's what you carry to heaven. Amen. If you want to say you carry something to heaven, you know, Paul said you brought nothing into this world and you're going to carry nothing out. And that's absolutely true. You came naked into this world and you're going out without anything. But the idea here is when a child of God dies, what goes with him to heaven is the very thing that came from heaven to start with. And that's those spiritual blessings. Don't you know that you maybe watched someone die and they slowly lost their strength? But before they lost their strength, they were talking about going to be with the Lord. They said, I just want to go be with the Lord. Don't you know that when they passed from this life, that their works followed them in that sense? That little experience they had here with God's presence, laying hold on eternal life, it just opened up when they got to heaven. And they realized what I enjoyed in this world was just a little taste of the abundant storehouse that I now have in heaven.
Thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast. We hope you'll join us again tomorrow when we'll present another message of God's sovereign grace. In the meantime, if you have any questions or would like to contact us, please go to the website at zionpbc.com, where you can subscribe and get email updates every time a new sermon or any announcements are posted. Also, you can contact me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter J, chrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast, and may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.